Well, hi there, it's Jonathan Doyle with you for the Going Deeper Being Catholic podcast. Not sure how to frame this. You'll be on this list, or you'll be hearing this for a bunch of reasons. You may be in the Catholic education space. You may have heard me speak at a Catholic event. But however this has come into your hands, I just really hope you get something out of this. What I really felt that I wanted to do was just share with you a bit more frequently what God's putting on my heart, the experiences I'm having through Scripture and other things, and all of it I want to do to encourage you and to simply help you become, you know, more of what you already are. You know, I often say to people that the task in life is to become the very best version of yourself that you can. So God creates you, and then there's this Latin term, participes creatoris, which means co-creators, that we're allowed to sort of participate and cooperate with God through our choices and decisions in who we become. And, you know, there's so much darkness in the world. There's so much that we find hard. So I want it to be a regular voice, just encouraging you and edifying you and giving you just really short, useful little things that are on my heart that I hope bless you in your role. So you may be a parent, a teacher, a leader. You may be a priest or religious. I just hope that this is useful to you. And the only thing I ask is that if you do get something from it, grab the link, share it with other people, and just keep those ideas growing out there. So this is a really quick little message, and I've sort of called it keeping your eyes above your circumstance. Keeping your eyes above your circumstance. Now, there's a theory in what we call homiletics, right? Homiletics, the whole, you know, theory of how we give homilies and how we preach. There's a real theory that the preacher preaches first to themselves. So most of the time when you're preaching a message, it'll often be because it's really relevant to you. But, and I want to say that's true, right? Like, this is, I am the ultimate person who has not been very good at keeping my eyes above my own circumstance. So I guess, what am I saying? It's like when things in life get difficult, you know, we all just switch straight into some kind of crisis management model. We all just quickly start to just, you know, gather our resources. And for many of us, definitely for me, the primary resource is just to stress out. We think that if we just lie awake at 2 a.m. and think our way through a problem and revisit it and play out every scenario, that we're going to somehow figure it out. And we usually don't. We just end up getting more and more stressed. So really what I wanted to do was just share something that I've been experiencing about keeping your eyes above your circumstance, which is, well, let's frame this for you, right? So think of something in your life right now that's hard for you. It might be a physical issue, a health diagnosis, a relationship that's difficult, someone you care about's off the rails. Who knows? Financial issues, professional issues, people you work with. We are all, every one of you listening to this is going to have some area of life that's just difficult for you, right? Something that you should find really challenging at the moment. So our natural movement is to gravitate in the natural, in our natural abilities, to kind of just our own resources. Problem is, there's a theory in when they train race drivers. This is going to sound random, and what's the link? But stay with me. If you go to one of those race driving tracks, you know, they often put you into controlled skids, right? So they've got a button they can press, and it throws the car into a skid. And the thing that they drill you with all the time is not to look at the wall. Whatever happens, don't look at the wall. If you're going to hit the wall, you're going to hit it anyway. Looking at it is only going to tense you up and make it 10 times worse. So they train you that once the skid starts, you look away from the crisis. You look away from the wall. So what we tend to do in crisis, or definitely what I tend to do, is we focus totally on the wall. We look completely at the wall and forget about just about everything else except the crisis itself. So related to that is a theory I have that we can often be what I call pagan Catholics, you know, or pagan Christians, is that we go to church, we sort of pray, we're good people, right? We're the good guys, okay? But when it really comes to it, when it really comes to raw faith, to just living in profound faith, I don't know how to frame this for you, but it's like taking that step into really believing in the presence and the provision of God is really hard. Definitely is in my life. But what I want to encourage you through this podcast is to, maybe it's time that we have to do that. That maybe we have to get our eyes above our circumstance and focus on Jesus. Focus on who can actually help us and carry us through. So I want to do a couple of things to introduce that. The first scripture I want to share with you is just in Matthew chapter 14. And I shared this at a men's conference 2 weeks ago. And there should be a link to the conference either under this podcast or in the email you got. I really hope you'll go and have a look at that video. You can get to see me live speaking and shared some of this stuff that I'm doing now in that event. So whether you're male or not, if you're a female, you might want to grab it and share it with other friends, or you know, with your sons or your husband or whoever you know. So let's hope. I really hope you can help me get that video out there. Now, we're in Matthew 14. I'll just paraphrase. It's basically when Jesus is walking on the water. And we're in verse 25 of Matthew 14, and it says, "During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said. He cried, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" So first point is we can just take the analogy there that when we're terrified, when we're in crisis, Jesus automatically speaks into that. We often don't hear it, but the presence is there. So Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And in a single word, Jesus says, "Come." In verse 29, it says, "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" Now, I want to keep this podcast really short. We could do a massive exegesis on this. This like scripture kind of is the summary of our life, isn't it? Let me do this for you. What's happening here, right? Peter is fine until he makes one mistake. The dude is walking on the water. Okay, like he's just totally turning the laws of nature on their head, walking on the water. But he's looking directly at Jesus. And there's a line here when it says, "When he saw the wind, he was afraid." Let me read that again. "When he saw the wind, he was afraid." Now, the first thing is you don't see wind, right? Wind's invisible. You only see the effects of wind. So what effects of wind would he have seen? He would have been out on the water. And I reckon he probably just looked left or right and saw a big wave coming. Okay, so he saw a big wave coming. He knew it's beyond his resources. But where did his focus go, right? Here's the point. Where did his focus go? His focus immediately went off the eyes of Jesus and off the face of Jesus onto his circumstance. Really simple, huh? So what's this podcast called? Keeping your eyes above your circumstance. What's Peter done? He's immediately looked down, or he's looked left, or he's looked right, taking his eyes off Jesus, and immediately begins to sink. I mean, look, you do not have to be rocket science to figure out what scripture is trying to teach us there, okay? It's very simple. That when we're in a difficult circumstance and we see the metaphorical storm raging around us, you're probably in one right now. You've probably got something happening right now that's just really, really difficult. And what do? We take our eyes off Jesus. We probably stop praying, or we think he's gone missing somewhere, or he's busy. You know, I love that, you know, I think it's in 2 Kings or 1 Kings where, you know, the prophets of Baal, that whole thing, and like Elijah is just paying it. He's just giving it to him. I love it. Elijah's there going, "Pray louder. You know, maybe Baal's on holiday. Maybe he's traveling." It's just hilarious, right? But I think sometimes for us as, you know, pagan Catholics or pagan Christians, we can think, well, you know, God isn't fixing my circumstance. He's not immediately fixing it. And related to that, I want to give you a really powerful insight, is that, you know, God's in the business of growing us up. He's not the cosmic wish-granting fairy, okay? I don't know how else to say that. Most of this current generation thinks that God is the cosmic wish-granting fairy. And when God doesn't grant my cosmic wishes and someone dies or something tragic happens, therefore God must hate us or God doesn't exist, he's not the cosmic wish-granting fairy, okay? Now, he may grant wishes. He may do anything. He parted the Red Sea. He can do anything he wants. But we've got to break out of this idolatrous idea that God exists to just wave the magic fairy wand to make everything better. What if your circumstance is going to be difficult for a while and there isn't much you can do? I'll tell you the one thing you can do is that you can lift your eyes above your circumstance and focus on Jesus and his provision and presence in your life. And I mean that. You can hear it in my tone. I want to give you a couple more scriptures to finish. You've got to listen to Hebrews 12:2, right? Hebrews 12:2. Come back to Peter for a second. On that water, lowers his eyes, stops looking at Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." This has been a mantra for me. I preached it at the conference, and I'm like, you know what? Do not fix your eyes on your circumstance. Do not lie awake at 2 a.m. just freaking out about trying to psychically control what's difficult. Do what scripture tells us to do. Hebrews 12:2. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Okay, you got to know that one. That's got to be a heart scripture for you. You got to know Hebrews 12:2. When things are difficult, get your eyes off the wall. Get your eyes off where the crash is going to happen. Get your eyes off the circumstance. Get them back above the circumstance to the author and perfecter of our faith. And, you know, people say, well, that's nice, man, but practically what does that mean? Well, if we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus, it means we make time to pray. We make time for the sacraments. We make time to get to Mass as often as possible. We get time for reconciliation. The sacraments, scripture, spiritual direction. We, you know what I'm thinking? Seriously, we have to become, in this generation, at this time, seekers after God. Like, it is a hidden time, right? Like, it is hard to find God in our modern culture. There is so much hatred of God and so much noise and confusion and social media and busyness and email. I just think that the real lovers of God at the moment, the real pursuers of God, are going to be the ones that do that, pursue him, that chase him, that go and seek his face, that want his presence. Okay? And we don't have that tradition enough, and we've got to do it more, because I want to just bring you to Ephesians 3:20 in terms of, you know, having focused on Jesus and keeping our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Ephesians 3:20. Amazing scripture. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it's work within us, right? Look, just look at that line. He is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask. But look at this next line. Imagine that you know, in your circumstance, who knows what he might do? He could do anything. He could bring a complete healing. He could bring a massive reversal of fortune. He could do anything. We don't know, but you've got to get to the point of you just loving him enough that it doesn't matter. But it just doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Whether it's perfected or whether it stays difficult, your eyes are up on him to carry you through. Seriously, we've got to be people of faith now. I want to finish with this. I got up early this morning. I was praying. And, you know, I'm doing a study of Jonah. It's such an amazing short book of the Bible. You know, here I am with my Bible here. You can hear the paper rustling. Jonah starts in my Bible on page 782, and it's all over by 784, right? It's about a page and a half. But I want to take you to Jonah, the start of Jonah chapter 2, which is what I'm studying this morning. Jonah has already been swallowed by the whale. But listen to this really line. It's really simple. See if you can pick out what I'm going to do with it. Ready? From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You know what? Listen to this carefully. Just the start. From inside the fish. You hear that? From where did Jonah pray? It doesn't say, after Jonah had been rescued and was drinking a daiquiri in Nineveh, or after Jonah had been rescued and was flying business class back to Jerusalem. No, Jonah prayed in the midst of his circumstance. Where was he? Verse chapter 2, verse 1, from inside the fish, from inside the circumstance. His faith moved and his prayer moved from inside the circumstance, okay? And that's what we got to do. We got to be people who pray from inside the circumstance. So I just want to encourage you today, whatever you're facing, whatever your circumstance is, God knows about it, okay? He's not absent, he's not disappeared, he's not on holiday. He is infinitely, intimately concerned about your circumstance, and he wants to be present in it. But what we've got to do is lift our eyes up in Hebrews 12:2 to the author and perfecter of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How? Get to the sacraments. Start to pray. Read the scriptures. You know, seek after him, and you'll find that even if your circumstance doesn't initially change, I promise you, you sure as hell will, okay? Because you will just go, you know what, Lord, this is going to break me. But now I'll tell you a little story, right? I met a guy a little while ago who, I was speaking at an event, and this guy had been through cancer, and he had a young family, and we ended up playing golf together. And he's sharing this story with me about his experience of this, which I found so confronting because I got young kids and I'm young too. And I'm like, oh man, it was so close to the bone for me. And he talked about this one moment where he got this really bad part of a diagnosis. And I just said, what did you do, man? Like, how did you, you know, experience, how did you handle that spiritually? And he said, you know what? I got to a point where he said, I finally just went, you know what? He said, he prayed to God. He said, God, I'm done. I'm just done. I can't do anymore. I'm completely done. And it was so moving because right at that moment, he just said, he just felt God just went, ah, now. And he said he felt the presence of God and the provision of God in that moment of complete and utter letting go. And I spoke to somebody on the weekend who really touched my life in a similar way, who has been through a long journey with anxiety and depression. And I was asking them, I was talking to them, they were sharing about their journey and they were talking about medication. And they just shared that they decided to go off it for a long time. And now, I'll do a big disclaimer here. If you're using medication for mental health in any area, this is, I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm always saying, you know, this area is very sensitive and you need to talk to a healthcare professional about it. But this person had decided to go off the medication. And I said, as they were talking about it, they said, you know, I got to a point where she realized that her patterns of coping around anxiety had been because she was trying to cope with everything in her own strength. And she said she finally got to a point with God where she just went, you know what? It's too big for me. It's too big. It's just too big for me. And she began a change in her whole outlook on life and her spirituality of complete abandonment to God. And hasn't needed the medication and hasn't felt the same anxiety in this constant abandonment to God. And, you know, as a father of young children, I kind of get a mirror of this. Like, we have this mantra in my house. I say, what are daddies for? And the kids yell back, daddies are for helping. Because so many times they'll get stuck with something. And just this morning, my little one, you know, she wanted to get a straw out of this cup to drink something. And she's made her a cup of tea. And she wanted a straw to drink hot tea. Anyway, and we had this other cup that had a straw stuck in it and she couldn't get it out and she handed it to me and I fixed this thing and got the straw out and fixed it in 2 seconds and I looked and I said, what are daddies for? And she said, helping. And I just think in our relationship with God as Father and our relationship with Jesus is just to realize that our Father in heaven knows our circumstance. And like, you know, like I say to my kids, dads are for helping. Our Father God knows our circumstance. And I know the truth of life, really. I'm a bit older now. I know that it often doesn't feel like that in our circumstance. We often want a supernatural intervention, and I've had those, and they happen too. But what God wants is just us to seek after him in our circumstance. So whatever you're going through, keep your eyes above your circumstance. I hope that's been helpful. I'd love you to post a comment under here. I'd love you to share it with people. If you use social media, grab the link and just post it on your social feed and say to people, hey, listen to this, it'll bless you. I make no money from this whatsoever, but the blessing on my heart is knowing that this stuff travels around the world and just reaches somebody who may really need to hear it. So I just ask you to do that. Share this for me today. I'm Jonathan Doyle. Shameless promotion. If you're in education, make sure you check out the link anywhere on the site to the Going Deeper program. It's an amazing program used around the world by well over 200 schools now that helps teachers learn more about what it means to be formed in the faith and take that into the teaching. So check out the Going Deeper program. You can check out my personal website and the other podcasts I do over at jonathandoyle.co. So I hope this helps. Keep your eyes above your circumstance. Get your eyes off the wall and know that he's present in your circumstance. I'll speak to you again very soon.